Yes, thank you very much, honorable members. Our invited guests, the department and the Commission on Water Research Commission, I want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody in the meeting. We have invited the Commission to come and brief us on the assessment made on the importance and cost implication of water desalination as part of the future water supply. Before we start with our meeting, I would request that we observe moments of silence for meditation or prayer as we continue to put our country together with our people, we should be able to win this war against the pandemic and continue to pass our condolences to the families and beloved ones that we lose on a daily basis through this pandemic. Can we observe a moment of silence and meditation? Thank you very much. Well, guys, can we note the apology?
Good morning, members of the committee. I've got one apology from the EPDG Trevor.
Okay. Yes. Yes, you know.
Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. The network is very bad in Laboria today. I don't know. As I've indicated, that we have been invited.
Professor, I don't know whether my connection or your connection, but I can't hear you.
We can't hear the chair at all.
Morning, Minister. While we wait for the chair, we can greet each other. Are you well?
I'm well, Leadership. How are you?
I'm also fine. Thank you, Minister.
Yesterday, I'm told you were speaking about a small dog.
A small dog with a big heart, creating a lot of problems in the country.
Which one?
The Tling River.
Oh, that's one. It's peaceful.
Yeah.
Secretary, tell me my name.
Okay, members, Chapel is not here again. We'll be here now and our time.
Honorable members.
Yes, Chair.
We can hear you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. Can we give the department, I think the minister has logged in, can we then have the minister to make the remarks and DM, and then give it to a commission?
The minister is connected.
I thought that Cindy, the minister Susulu, you can give the remark.
Sorry for the interruption, Chairperson. Can I make a proposal? Colita?
Well, Chair, I know the minister is connected, but if she is not able to come through, it means the minister will come in, Chair. We have the leadership of the commission. They are led by the leadership, the CEO, Desmond Ndaidu. My suggestion, Chairperson, is that the portal issues or the remarks by either the minister, the DM, will take them after the presentation on the assignment that was given, because also network is giving us challenges. And Chair, I've also given them through the secretariat that I will be requesting an excuse when SOPA starts because I'm supporting the program today. But with your permission, Chair, because some time has been taken, let's request them again to make the presentation with the team. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Greetings, Honourable Chairperson. Greetings. Greetings to the Portfolio Committee. With your permission, I'm going to I hope you can hear me, and I hope that you can see the presentation. Colleagues, today, the Water Resources Commission is made privileged to offer this briefing to the Portfolio Committee on incredibly important aspects, and something we think is going to get increasingly important as we go further. I just want to introduce the team. I myself am current CEO of the Water Resources Commission. The other members of the team are Jay Bhagwan, executive in charge of water use for built environment as well as industrial and mining environment. And we have Dr. Talabaila, who is our foremost expert on water quality matters. I'm going to do the first couple of slides around the broad base of the issue associated with desalination, and then my colleagues will take over and give the more technical presentation on both the technology and some of the cost factors involved. So, colleagues, the first thing that I think we need no reminder of is that water scarcity is one of the defining factors of the 21st century. It might not seem so right now because we are at the beginning of a La Nina cycle, but La Nina cycles in general are shorter than El Nino cycles, which are the dry cycles for Southern Africa, and the dry cycles in turn tend to be much more intense than the La Nina cycle. So it's great that we have rain, it's great that we are filling up our reservoirs and our tanks, but our general state of play in this part of the world is to be more dry than we are wet, and it's important that we are reminded of that. The next thing I want to put out is that this discussion comes at a very opportune time, and I thank the Portfolio Committee for putting it on the slate, because there were some very significant things that happened at the beginning of this year that are pointing to the need for a much deeper discussion around alternatives. The first, on the 25th of January, was the launch of the Climate Adaptation Summit. South Africa was a participant in that. It, in fact, had 22 heads of state and some 50 ministers that participated, in addition to leadership from parliament, from business, and from civil society, talking about a key aspect for Africa and South Africa, and that is the adaptation agenda. Because the climate change agenda has been dominated in the discussion to date by the mitigation agenda. It's important, but it's primarily for the North. Right now, the South needs to deal with the issues of climate change immediately and make very hard decisions on development trajectories So the shift of emphasis to the adaptation was key. And in that space, water, of course, was a pivotal factor. The second big occurrence at this time was the World Economic Forum, the virtual version of the World Economic Forum that happened in January, starting on the 26th, and talked about the Great Reset. And the Great Reset is critically important because it's talking about, one, water still being very primary to any growth and development trajectory anywhere in the world. It's also primary to meet all of the SDG targets, not just SDG 6, and this was emphasized, and it does need an expansion of the options in all of those areas. So committee, the outline of the presentation is to talk quickly about the water resources in South Africa, the context of the water supply, and then we have segmented desalination, the desalination part of the presentation, into a couple of segments to make this more manageable. What has already been distributed to you are two science briefs that contain a lot more words than we are going to share in the presentation, and a lot more of the detail, and I hope that you will use that. But I thought, let's start off with the issues that tend to dominate this discussion that we ignore when we are doing this discussion. We have to deal with the elephant in the room. And the elephants in the room, and it's not just one, there are three, are absolutely critical. So let me talk to those very briefly. The first is the issue of the cost. And this is one of the big issues that got onto the table whenever one is talking about desalination. In fact, not just desalination, but most new options associated in the water domain, and probably in many other domains, is the issue of the cost factor. And the cost factors that are usually put up are the cost factors associated with one isolated intervention. So what we are doing in this, if I use an analogy, if we wanted to bake a loaf of bread, and you had to build an oven every time you bake that loaf of bread would be enormously expensive. If, however, you put in the capital cost around an oven, and you're baking 1,000 loaves a day, that cost factor, the margin, goes down very radically. If, in turn, you're organizing to do 1,000 loaves a day, 10,000 loaves a day, 100,000 loaves a day, with each of those increments, the economies of scale kicks in, and the cost factors go down very low. So I am hopeful that in this 21st century now, compared to where we were before, that the desalination discussion will be a different one, using different parameters compared to what we were talking about before, because desal for emergency interventions always come at a high cost. That having desal plugged in as a permanent part of the solution is what uses the cost factor. The second big elephant in the room is the issue of the energy source. Now, we have better technology than the reverse osmosis with the high-density sludge process that has been used in the RAL system. But still, even with those five very smart, more energy-efficient options, energy is still an issue. So dealing with the energy sources is a fundamental part of the strategy. And switching from a coal-based traditional generation into a renewable generation is very attractive because desal entities can have the opportunity of actually accelerating our renewable energy objectives and our low-carbon objectives inside South Africa. But it's worth looking at some of the factors involved in that, because there's a parallel between the discussion around renewable energy and the cost factors of desal. Now, the Institute for the International Renewable Energy Agency, IRENA, which is based in Saudi Arabia, has done some of the number crunching around renewable energy. And they have looked at the period 2010 to 2019, and here are the conclusions. That for PV, the photovoltaic technology option, over that period of time, the cost factor has gone down by 82%. In 2021, you can buy PV panels at almost one-tenth of the price that you would have paid in 2010, in real numbers, in real value. If you look at concentrated solar power, that has gone down by 47%. If you look at wind energy, onshore wind energy, that's down by 40%. Even offshore wind energy, which has a very, very high capital cost associated with its installation, is down by almost 30%. So energy has the opportunity of not becoming an elephant in the room in the very near future, depending on what option you use. So if you put a solar farm next to a diesel plant, you have a sustainable solution for a very long time, where in fact, you're going to have costs at the margin going down exponentially. The third factor is the capacity to run these new systems. Now, we're rapidly learning from the other people who are ahead of us in this game. And you will know that one of the tests in Singapore, in the Singapore water plan, is in fact desalination. Now, one of the learnings from Singapore, and this is replicated in many other places in the world, that a reorientation of existing capacity isn't that difficult because the primary engineering processes and technical processes require the same fundamental training. So the switch that has happened in many other countries to embrace desalination has been quite rapid. The second issue in the South African environment is that in general, we are short of capacity in the water sector and in several other sectors. So gearing up this new capacity that we need anyway, but now around these newer technologies, is a bit of a no-brainer. So colleagues, I'm sure we'll talk about that a lot more during the question time, but I thought we should plug this right up. The last thing I want to share with you before I hand over to my colleagues on the technical part of the presentation is a visualization of what is already in the Water Master Plan under the label of Water for All, but to extend that is also Water from All. Because what we are looking at here is a nexus of taps to engage in the South African environment. We have been dominated by surface water. We have been dominated in part by groundwater, and groundwater will become increasingly prominent going into the future. In fact, next year's World Water Development Report is dedicated entirely to groundwater. So this is a very important factor. So these are the two taps that we are familiar with. And what I plugged into that picture are some of the WRC materials related to each of these, which is freely available to everyone, and we can package it and make sure that we have that as well. But I want us to understand that in addition to that, as it is laid out in the Water Master Plan, is that water conservation and demand management is a very key part of that. In fact, water conservation and demand management can get us from where we currently are, and we are currently using 235 liters per person per day, to the global average, which is 177 liters per person per day, and perhaps even go further than that around organizing ourselves to be somewhere in the region of where countries like Denmark are, for example, which is 108 liters of water per person per day in a very prosperous society. So the decrease in the demand alleviates the supply pressure and allows us to be much more efficient in our operation. But the piece that we're talking about today is the fourth part. This is about reuse, wastewater treatment, dealing a new source of water, recycling, and desalination is a very key part of that. So, we can move right now directly into the technical part of the presentation, and the first point of departure is that South Africa already has a desalination strategy. This has been published by the Department of Water and Sanitation, and at this point, I'm going to hand over to my colleagues, J. Bhagwan and Nonhlanhla Halabaila.
Good morning, honorable members. J. Bhagwan. While my colleague Nonhlanhla organizes the presentation, I just want to add on the back of the introduction from Desika that when we're looking at desalination, we should also look at it as an industrial park. And that has been one of our weaknesses in the country, that we were at a time world leaders in the technology front in terms of innovation, etc. And it's a good example, Desigan, that same technology was taken away from our shores and commercialized in Singapore as an industrial platform. Because at a national level, you know, there wasn't a strategic view to say that this is going to be required in the future. So let's create the cohort, the capacity, the industrial part, because this solution space is going to become a very key requirement in our own work against challenges, but also become a net exporter of solutions around the globe. So, you know, with that, there's a huge economic opportunity. There's still an economic opportunity because there is a growing demand for desalination and reuse and recovery processes. So I'll hand over with that few words to my colleague, Dr. Labey.
Yes, good morning, honorable members. My name is Nonshansha Kalebaela. I'm from the Water and Sewage Commission. It is really an honor to present to you today some of the work that the Water and Sewage Commission has done on desalination. Mr. CEO, I am going to ask you to prompt you to be advancing the slides on my behalf as they are on the slide. Okay, so what you have in front of you right now is the two previous speakers have already said is that the country already, as part of the National Water Resources Strategy, already developed a national strategy for desalination for the country. So this was necessary because we already know that unlike other conventional water supply schemes, desalination schemes have a very unique risk profile. This is so because there are risks that are involved with the source water quality. It is a capital intensive project for the construction delays, so the period for construction would also present some challenges, and also the demand side of the scheme, so that you have to ensure that the water, there is someone who is going to purchase, or there is going to be a demand for the water that you are producing, and also the financing part of it, that there is going to be low cost funds available in order to fund the project, and also technology selection in itself related to the water quality is another aspect that really presents a huge risk, capacity building, and also being the whole program being supported by sound research and development, as well as having a seamless regulatory and also implementation process. So all these risks, they have a significant bearing on the cost, on the overall cost of the desalination scheme. So that is why it is very important that in the strategy it lays out that if the country has an intent to move from the current capacity of desalination, which currently sits at about 0.5% of the total water supply of the country, to a desired 5% supply or contribution into the resource mix, there is a need that all these aspects that are outlined in the strategy are really addressed and looked at. Next slide, please. So already as early as 2006, the Department of Water and Sanitation, the Water Affairs Commission, and other sector partners, there was already some background work that was already ongoing in order to provide some guidance to the sector on the implementation of desalination projects. So there is a guideline that was developed at that time, around 2006, which is a desalination guide for municipal engineers. So if you look at this document, as I have mentioned in the previous slide, that technology selection is one of the key factors that determines the cost of the overall project. So what that guideline does is that it provides information on the available desalination technologies and also provides guidance on how to select the appropriate desalination technology for any project. So the CEO has already gone to some length to look at some of the energy requirements of the different technologies, and also one other determining factor factor that determines which technology will be most suited for any particular area is the water quantity, which can be expressed in terms of the total dissolved volume, or TDS. So in South Africa, typically the TDS around our coastal areas is around 35,000 to 36,000 ppm or milligrams per liter. So if you look at that table that is there at the bottom there, which shows that reverse osmosis is one of the most crucial type of technology. And also the CEO has also spoken about the energy components that also reverse osmosis, even though it is an energy intensive process, but compared to the other processes, it is much lower because the others, they require even more energy than desalination. So, like I said, so the move from reverse osmosis to other technologies then would be guided by an energy security or availability of a mix of energy options in order to drive each one of those costs. Next slide. So this slide just gives a visual representation of how South Africa is faring in terms of installation capacity of desalination plants. So if you look at figure 2, it just shows some of the countries that have already implemented desalination using reverse osmosis. As you can see that some of the biggest plants, they are in the West, South Africa, and the Middle East, and then just a little bit. So the huge concentration of those plants is around the Middle Eastern part, with just a smaller plant to what the Far East. And then what figure 2 shows is that it shows some of the typical countries that could be really maybe be comparable to South Africa in terms of the water stress index. So as you can see there that some of the countries, your Saudi Arabia, your Middle Eastern countries are some of the highly water stressed countries. But as you can see, if you compare that to the capacity, you can see that they've already made that switch towards the implementation of desalination. South Africa, on the other hand, in as much as it's still a water-stressed country, we still have a very low desalination capacity, where if you look at the total capacity of the plants that are in operation, they are about 50,000 liters per day, or about 50 megaliters per day in total. And also, like we've already said, most of the technologies that are used in those plants is reverse osmosis. Next slide. So these are some of the examples of the current desalination plants in South Africa. And obviously, this is not the complete list. There are plants that have already come up in the past 2 to 3 years, but you do not see them in this slide. So what this slide just gives are some of the plants that are already in operation, which then can show that South Africa already has some sort of experience in operating a small-scale plant. If you look at that column there under capacity, you can see that these plants, they vary from about 0.5, the biggest being the Morpho Bay plant, which is about 15 megaliters per day. And also, if you look at the configuration, then you can see that almost all the plants are reverse osmosis plants. The exception is the Vitalgas plant, which really is a brackish water, not a seawater, reverse osmosis plant. Next slide. So this slide just shows a screenshot from the scenario analysis or option analysis that is done by the department. It is just a good representation to show how the cost of design. Water as well as a water reclamation. So if you can see from the slides, I hope it's visible enough, desalination, if you look at from the top there, it is number 3 from the top, it is around about 12 rand per meter cube. That's the unitary cost to produce the water. But if you look at now your conventional type of heating, like traffic water, you come to water, you can see that the cost can be as low as 1 rand per meter cube, and then going up to about 7 to 9 rand per meter cube. And also comparing desalination to the reuse of wastewater, you can see that the reuse of wastewater comes at a much cheaper price than that of desalination. So this cost is driven by the so many factors that I've already spoken about at the beginning of the presentation. Your energy cost of the chosen technology, as well as your source water quality, and as well as the capital requirements, as a nation like us, they are quite capital intensive projects. So what the slide shows, like in summary, that compared to other options, desalination is the most expensive option. But obviously, as the CEO has mentioned, why it is an expensive option, it is a drought-proof solution. It is not reliant on rainfall, so it means that it is a high assurance water supply option. So the decision that at any stage in planning a desalination project is assurance of supply versus cost. If really we want to be water sector, then we have to go to what is high assurance option and which really comes at a cost. Next slide, please. So these are findings from a project that was done around 2011 to 2014, which was driven by the Water Research Commission and Water Sector Partners. So from the table that I had already shown before, showing some of the plants that are already operational, so we decided to now look at some of the cost and operational aspects from some of the plants so that we can see that in so far in the plants that are already existing, what is it that we can learn as the country is preparing for a scale up, to look at scaling the size of desalination plants. So what you see there are columns of different desalination plants that were already constructed and completed, so and then also the related costs that are associated with the future plant. So there is a Mossel Bay plant that I already spoke about, that is one of the biggest at that time. And then we have the Sedgefield, which is about 1.5 megaliters a day, and the Albany Coast, which is about 1.8. So I'm going to go straight into first look at the capital cost. Previous slide, once again, just to do a recap, just look at the capital cost as well as the operational costs that are associated with this plant. So if you look at the per unit capacity of this plant, you can see that they range between about 15 million per megaliter per day to about 21 million per megaliter per day. So you can already see that what really the size of the plant really, it does not really come in proportion to the per unit capacity of the plant, because if you look at the Mossel Bay, it is a bigger plant, 15 megaliters, and then if you look at the Albany cost, it is a smaller one, but it comes at a much higher cost. And then if you look at the operation maintenance cost, they range from between 7 to about 9 rand per meter cube, and then just below that then is the energy use. So from there you can already see that the energy use in other cases accounts for almost 50% of the O&M cost. So the lesson from this plant, if you look at now at the operational status and with the completed dates, you can see that most of these plants were constructed as emergency projects where really there wasn't much time to plan and also do adequate projections or to look at who's going to buy the water or is there going to be a demand once the drought is over. So that's why you can see that some of the plants are in zero production mode, which means that once, in other cases, once the rain came back and the dams are full, then the municipality switched back to using recycled water resources. So which really means that for future international planning, we have to plan for various operating modes so that we can also make sure that the plants are cost effective. Next slide, please. So I have already covered most of the information that is in this article. So this is an example of the Mossel Bay plant, and then it gives more details on the circumstances of construction and also the contracting model, whereby it was an alliance between the government and the private sector for construction of that plant, and also given where the water, the demand is, and also the split between who pays for forward. And I've already said it is the reverse osmosis plant and the brine is discharged into the ocean. So I've already started touching on this, that so, I mean, the country has an intention now to really upscale desalination, to look at now your bigger desalination plants, as we have already learned from existing plants and old, and other modern studies, that really you start seeing economies of scale around your 100 to 150 megaliter plant, but not over 200 megaliters. So it is very important that now we put together the necessary requirements or the necessary considerations that are in the strategy in order to really lay the ground for the upscaling of desalination. So I've already spoken about the need for a long-term planning of desalination as part of the water supply mix. And also one of the risks that I've already spoken about is that the regulatory process or the permitting process and the implementation aspect is one of the risks that already has been flagged for the construction of desalination projects. So it is very important that we make this process as seamless as possible so that to avoid any delays in the issuing of the necessary permits. Because any delays, as we know, they translate to cost. And then also it is very important to really improve the understanding on the contracting model or the project delivery process that is appropriate for different desalination plants. So we have different situations where in other cases the water utility or water service institution might have the funds to actually design, build and operate the plant and own the assets. But as we have already learned in some of the previous projects in South Africa, that is not the case. In most cases, in some of the coastal smaller municipalities, they might not have the necessary funds, they might not have the necessary skills to be able to mend the whole process from design to building to operation. So in other cases, you find that the water service institution is mature enough. They have their own engineers, they can do the design or they can do supervision of a contractor whereby they are involved in the process, and then in the process also the transfer of capacity. But it is very important that that is done over a sufficiently long period so that they also the capital redemption, that is the payback period, is flexible enough to also allow for a lower tariff of the produced water as well as the recovery of the pond. And then in other cases, there could be a situation where really the contractor is responsible for a building, for operating, and then also that then the municipality or the water service institution then is the buyer or is the purchaser. So under an appropriate water purchase agreement, then the municipality would give a guarantee to the contractor to purchase the water at a guaranteed price, or what we call the independent water produced model. And then I've already also spoken about the water quality standards. We've already seen some situations playing out in the media where really, in other cases, there isn't trust in the ability to produce the water into the required standards because there is lack of really that understanding on the water safety aspect. So it is very important that there is proper guidance on SUN 241, which is our drinking water quality standard. And then we've already spoken at length about some of the opportunities where we are seeing at the moment, where we can look at lowering the cost, looking at renewable energy. And then also we've already spoken about the need to build capacity and localize the distribution. So the next couple of slides, really, it is just a visual illustration on some of the work that we are currently looked into this water energy nexus, integrating desalination planning for water planning and also energy planning. So we already know that in the current model, the energy cost can account for up to 50% of the operational cost. So we have started looking at how we can explore some energy alternatives. And already there is a plant in the Cape that is a smaller plant, though, that is running on solar PV. So what we will be doing is right now, we have started the data collection. So in the future, we'll be looking at writing that as a case study, so that we can use it for learning purposes. So what the diagram at the bottom shows some of the possible or potential energy sources that could be used to drive desalination processes. Next slide, please. So these are results that we have obtained from some of the modeling work that we have done. So other than looking at using a different energy source, a desalination plant which uses reverse osmosis can also be fitted with an energy recovery device, which allows for the recirculation of the energy within the plant. So already there you can see that there are cost savings that really could be realized if this reverse osmosis plant is fitted with some energy recovery device. As you can see from the capital cost and the total operating cost, which are slightly lower than the cost that I already presented in the previous slide. So the other two, they show some other energy sources, which really South Africa is not really in, does not have that capacity for that to generate as much waste or heat energy to, in order to power the desalination plant. The only case that could really, maybe I'm going to show in one of the slides, is really co-locating, because I mean we have the power generation, co-locating the infrastructure for abstraction of the water with a nuclear power plant. Next slide, please. So this is another example of the Ekurhuleni plant, which recently came up. And from this plant, what we have already learned is that they have, or they are observing about a 30% less energy savings than conventional desalination. So what this plant is, it's a remix plant. So the abstraction or the source water that they are using both desalination or seawater, and also they are using wastewater. So it's a mix of desalination and also reuse plant. So mixing these two, it allows that flexibility in technology selection, such that then you end up using less energy for the whole desalination scheme. Next slide, please. So another example that really I want to maybe bring to light is that obviously everyone might be sitting and be asking that, but why aren't we then having mobile or package desalination plants so that we can be able to be moving this around to where there is need? And if there's a drought to this side, we take on that side, if it's raining, and so on and so forth. So there is one plant that was commissioned around 2017, around Richards Bay. So I'm going to jump straight to the cost part, which is the second bullet from the bottom. So this is a 10 megaliter plant that was constructed at about 300 million. So if you really do some quick math, then you can already see that that plant comes at higher cost, because then we are looking at about 30 million rand per megaliter per day. So this is even much higher than the cost that I had presented in some of the tables that I presented. So the bottom line is that the mobile package plants, they have numerous advantages because we can move the plants around, but in terms of the cost, these plants come at a higher cost, and also they are not very easy to operate. Next slide, please. So this is the part that I was talking about in some of the modeling work that was done to look at some shared infrastructure where you co-locate your desalination plant next to a power plant, for instance, a nuclear plant, where the desalination plant can share the abstraction infrastructure with the existing, for instance, your Kubek is already abstracting water from the sea for cooling your power plant. So we have already seen that there are some cost savings if you look at your standalone desalination plant, and also comparing it with the co-location or where it's shared infrastructure. And then so obviously, like I said, that there are some movements within the sector. There are different plans, as I said, that the country intends to move to that scale. So there are already plans that I'm planning, with the Payton being one, to look at large scale as a transition plan. So the others, they are still under feasibility, they are still under consideration, but some of the coastal municipalities have already started with the feasibility studies. They've also started with the 2-year water quality monitoring, which is supposed to inform the design. So I think that I have provided just some insights on the cost aspect of desalination, and I am going to hand over back to you, Mr. CEO, to summarize.
Thank you very much, Lou, for really an excellent walk through those slides. Colleagues, I think that the story is fairly clear to you around where we need to go to. I just want to add that there are a few other factors that serve as an important update to where the 2011 strategy document was. One is that the technology has moved and improved. Two, the investor appetite globally has changed around different technology platforms. I mean, 20 years ago, if you weren't planning a large reservoir, you couldn't even begin a discussion with potential funders. Now that game has changed completely, and there's a huge attraction around the embracing of new, more localized technology with much higher assurances of supply. And this is a point that is worth emphasizing, because even in the 2021 Global Risk Register of the World Economic Forum, in that top right-hand quadrant, the whole notion of water crisis, that means the non-water security of the world as a whole, is still one of the biggest threats to the global economy. But, Chair, I am sure that you will have a lot more questions, and we will be able to respond in the discussion time. I thank you very much, and I think we will stop sharing the presentation.
Thank you very much, CEO and your team. Honorable members, that was the presentation. Can I see hands that needs to talk to the presentation? I see one hand from Honorable Butas Zeki. Honorable Zeki, and followed by Honorable Grace Zeki.
Chairperson. I don't have an icon that says I must raise my hand. Can you please also note me?
Okay, it will be Buta Seki, followed by Grace Seki, followed by Honorable Mofoto, followed by Honorable... Constance. Honorable,
thank you, Chairperson. Can I shoot?
Yes, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to just two or three questions. One, please, Chancellor and the team, or CEO and the team, can you just take us from A? Chair, pardon me if they want presented to the committee. Maybe I missed that. If they can take us to class zero, just a reminder of the definition of desalination. Pardon me for that. And also the explanation of reverse osmosis. The last one, Chair, I hear that in terms of cost, if I understand correctly, the issue of renewable energy, if it can be managed or upscaled, it can actually assist in downing the cost of the acidification project, if I hear you correctly. does it mean that the input in the acceleration is it electricity more? What are the other things? I once had a discussion with someone about seawater, and I asked just a very general question to say, what if the seawater runs dry and the underground water runs dry? And he's actually an engineer, this person that I was asking. He said, no way, that water, underground water and seawater, will never run dry. Can I hear a comment? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Teki.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me thank the Water Research Council for their presentation. And just to emphasize that we take the scarce resource in our country. And I think the department, if not all of us, must come up with some programs that can teach our people, or just educate our people to save water, Chairperson. But my question one, Chair, is looking at the desalination plants that we have in our country and its cost implications, do we think going forward we can be able to sustain this model, especially in the areas that we have already started with this program? And two, could the presenter provide details on the consideration of the construction of a desalination plant to treat acid mine drainage from the wastewater plant mining basins? And my last question, Chair, the reuse of effluent water is a much cheaper and a viable option. Can the presenter provide details on how our country is benefiting from this excellent thanks, Chair.
Honorable Mokoto.
Thank you, Chairperson. A technical challenge of reverse osmosis results in membrane fouling, which could lead to lower performances. What are some of the solutions currently being used in South Africa to address membrane fouling? The next question is, what is the ethical problem of water desalination? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Constance.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to find out about the Northern Cape in particular, because the Northern Cape is a semi-desert province, which is also very dry, does have the sea, and also a lot of many energy farms, solar farms. So what is the advantage of what the Northern Cape have, versus to the budget and So I just want to find out if they have they been able to analyze all these problems, the advantages and the disadvantages. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sefai.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for this presentation. I think we've been longing to hear about the issues of desalination plants. Two questions, my Chair, is that there's a national strategy that is underway, and this program has been there in many other countries. One would like to hear from the presenters how many desalination plants that South Africa has, and what, how is the performance? Because that national strategy must be able to take on the issues of the research and the analysis that they've done, more especially in the African countries and also South Africa, so that at least this time we are in this particular program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kwai. There are no questions. I'm going to request the presenters to respond.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, board members, for those questions. If you don't mind, I'm just going to distribute them out to my colleague, and maybe we can start with Jay Bhagwan, as followed by Nonchalantla, and I will wrap up after this. Jay, okay, over to you.
So honorable members, let me try and do the class zero explanation of what desalination is. So basically, seawater has a very high concentration of salt. When you put it out in the sun and you dehydrate it, what happens is that the water elements evaporate, and what you're left with is these salts. Okay, and that is one way of how we produce salts for millions. But in that process, the water is lost. Okay. In desalination, we want to get the water and remove the salts. Okay, so we use this technique. It's reverse osmosis. It's just like your kidney. Okay, it's a membrane that has got very, very fine pore. Okay, and it's largely, you would say, hydrophobic in a way. It doesn't allow water to pass through it, but you have to give it a lot of energy and force this water through this membrane through this very, very tiny pore, okay? And that is why energy is required. It requires a lot of pressure in a pressure vessel through this membrane, okay? And what it does is that it keeps the salt behind and allows the water element to pass through. And that is how we get this kind of separation of separating the salt from the seawater and generate this fresh water in the system. So that's the very simple way that your membranes that are used in the term reverse osmosis mean that we reverse this membrane to actually put pressure to force it through, but it acts just like the kidney. How your kidney keeps working around separating all the contaminants in your body, the more pure version go into the bloodstream, etc. So that is what is happening in a very simple layman's term, that you have to give a lot of pressure to force it through the membrane, and that is what drives the cost and the efficiency. And we can scale this up because the more water you want to produce, the more trains of membranes you have to put in place, and the more electricity you require. Okay? And what you get out is water and brine. Brine is highly, highly concentrated salts. Okay? And they also can become an environmental problem in many of the Gulf states that depend solely on water supply from desalination. For years, they have been pumping the brine back into the sea, and in some of the sea areas very close to land, a lot of the marine life has died because the concentration of the water has become too high. So there's also all those elements that become risk in planning and designing. That's the one. I'll take the one on the Northern Cape, again, the cost of desalination becomes viable when you have you require a constant supply of water, in the absence of any other alternative. And in the case of the Northern Cape, the question was, it's where you pump it out from the sea and you manufacture the water, the desalinated water. Except as soon as you pump it around the country, cost then also increases. You need energy to pump it. So at the moment, it's very hard to model. If I had to now produce all this water on the coast and pump it to Johannesburg, the cost can be very, very high in that process. So it's addition to what, so where there's towns and cities along the coast, a lot of the modeling refers to that we produce water for their direct consumption at that level. But as soon as we go a little bit down those costs are additional costs to the operation. Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting some echo.
Okay.
Let's try must mute. All right. I am going to thank you for the questions. I'm going to try to answer as much as I can, as I captured them. So I'm going to skip the definition of desalination and the reverse osmosis as one of my colleagues has already done that. What I just need to clarify is that when we talk about desalination, we may be talking about two processes. We may be talking about a process where you are taking seawater and treating it to a drinkable standard. So that is seawater desalination. We might be also talking about where you are taking any contaminated water. A very good example is your AMV, and then treating it to a desired standard. So that we call it brackish water desalination. So when we talk about some of the cities that lie around the coast, so in most instances we're talking about seawater desalination. So I wanted to give that context to the Northern Cape question. I see that my colleague is
interested in that. Northern Cape says AMD. And what is AMD?
Acid mine drainage. Can I proceed?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes. So I just wanted to make that distinction. So in the Northern Cape, my colleague has already done that explanation that if that municipality is far inland, then there will be high cost in bringing that water in. But if we're talking about brackish water desalination at a municipality in the Northern Cape, then we're probably talking about maybe groundwater treatment to a desired standard. So one of the advantages of the Northern Cape is that it has enough sunlight, so it can also make use of solar. There is a map that is available where they've already mapped out the solar capacity of the country. Then the other question that I will go to, there was a question about membrane fouling. So in one of the slides that we presented, we showed the technology, treatment technology that is used there. So there was a specific column where we showed information on pre-treatment. So pre-treatment is very important because it means that before you give your water to your reverse osmosis membrane, it is very important to pre-treat your water so that you can avoid membrane fouling and also you can prolong the lifespan of your membrane. So it is very important that if you want to prevent membrane fouling, you put in place the appropriate pre-treatment method, which is normally your coagulation and also your filter, which means that you need to pre-filter the water before you can give it to reverse osmosis. And also you have to put a membrane clean process in place to as part of the maintenance of your membrane in order. prolong the lifespan of your membrane. And then there was another question about water reuse. So already South Africa is already moving into water reuse. So we already have a plant in South Africa, and Kapula also is planning where we also have where wastewater effluent is taken straight into treated for drinking purposes. So that is already happening. There are already plants. So we can also make that material available. We have we can compile a short report to show the spread of water reuse plants in South Africa. And then let me see, oh, there was another question about how many desalination plants. So from the presentation that I've already given, I can already make a count of up to 10 desalination plants that we already have in the country. So I see there was another question on the ethical problem of desalination. So desalination, as I have outlined in the presentation, this is a capital intensive process. So the ethics there, they also lie around the cost on the side of the contractor. In the research space, we talk about water ethics or water governance ethics, where really the contractor has really to be prudent on the capital cost and also stick to the deadlines in order to really so that the project stays along the projected cost. And then on the side of the services provider, the ethics there are around the cost to the user of the water to make sure that the water is affordable and not really to be making profits because there is a dire need or a shortage of water on that. So those two elements, I would say that those are the big two areas on the ethics of desalination. I think, yeah, that is all from my side. I will hand back to my colleagues.
Thank you, colleagues. Chair, if I can complete the of the answer. Firstly, to Honourable Dick, the question about the sea running dry. Desalination will long not be an issue before the sea runs dry because there will be no life on Earth, and there's very little chance in the current projection of the sea actually running dry. So the availability of seawater will always be there for the foreseeable future. This is not true for groundwater, because we have many cases in many parts of the world where groundwater has been over-exploited. And once you over-exploit the groundwater, you are in serious trouble. So in our strategy currently, in the water plan, in the master plan for water and sanitation, it's quite explicitly expressed that one, we have a high potential. We can go from the current 8% of use as part of the mix to up to 33% of the mix. However, we have to do this in a managed recharge paradigm. You actually have to continuously recharge your aquifers and actually use your aquifers as filtering mechanisms on the one hand, because as water seeps through the soil, it actually filters into an underground reservoir in the aquifer. And that's a very important thing. And secondly, groundwater doesn't deal with the same problems that waters in dams do, where you have to deal with the evaporation index. In fact, groundwater is a very, very effective storage mechanism, but it is by no means inexhaustible, that you have to take care of it all of the time. The issue you raised there about renewable energy becoming a major new factor, there are two parts to that. The one part is the cost factors go down. But the second part is reliability, because we do not have reliable energy supply in the country currently. So localized energy supply that is independent of the grid is currently very attractive. And usually a desalination plant will be far away from the normal grid, and it certainly has a larger potential if you have renewable energy as a resource for assurance of supply as well as a cost regulator, because the cost of drawing down the current by extending the grid would usually be very high. But you can see the scenario that is possible, that you could have every major town and city along the coast and many significant settlements inland, including most of Gauteng, actually relying quite heavily on desalination of waters that are either salty from the sea or polluted inland with other kinds of salt that Monsanto referred to as the brackish water. So theoretically, this is a very attractive option. you've got to put it in the right equation to make sure that it sticks in the right kind of way, because it must make economic sense over and above all of the other things that we require. But maybe the most important factor of all, and if I go to Honorable Insek, question about the existing plants. The existing plants were built on the back of emergency. And like many other parts in the world, and the most famous example, I think, are the plants in Sydney, Australia, that were built during the drought, and then got mothballed after the drought, and the cost of ramping that up all over again is almost the equivalent of building a new plant in the first place, just doesn't work. You actually have to organize for the desal plants to become a permanent part of the mix wherever it is being used. Then your maintenance costs go down, the costs associated with the capital go down, and this becomes an economically viable option. And this is something we should buy towards. On the question from Ms. Constance around the Northern Cape, you know, the Northern Cape attraction is in part around the availability of energy, in part around the towns that are along the coast, but also we have brackish aquifers in the Northern Cape that will benefit from this kind of technology around their supply. And this is something that is actually being investigated. It's being investigated under the banner of groundwater, but to use the groundwater that is brackish, you also have to have a desal solution, and we'll be able to get more information to you on that. On the input from Honorable Sister Wai, I think you are right that maybe we should be starting to put together a bit of a risk map around desalination that we actually have done around other things like fog water harvesting and as well as acid mine water, just to start showing where the better possibilities are around the country, using the location of proximity either to the sea or to another source of water, either an aquifer or maybe polluted water like acid mine water in the old mining basin. And then work that up as to what the energy proximity is and what the energy possibilities are and what the transmission possibilities are, because you've got to reticulate the water from where you treat it to where you want it to be. And I think this is a very good exercise, and I'm sure we can put together some folk to be able to engage this in a meaningful way. I just want to make one more point about the reuse of effluent, though. And this is from Honorable Insek. You know, we don't take advantage of the things that we do really well. Now, I have here in this little bottle, a bottle of water. This bottle of water comes from Beaufort West. And in Beaufort West, this bottle of water is totally reclaimed to potable standards. You can drink this. I have drunk this. And it comes directly from wastewater. Wastewater has been treated to produce this. In its time, it was one of the first plants in the world that managed to do this. And this is the kind of thing that we need to scale up all over the country. Yes, it has a link to desalination in part, because you need some desalination processes to get it to this kind of level, but it's a much broader discussion than that. So reuse and the reclamation of water from our wastewater has to be a very fundamental part of what we engage. Then the last point that I want to make, I thank Nanda for the response to Honorable Makoto, but I thought you might also be referring to some of the ethical issues associated to where the water is actually sourced. And I think that is an important factor, and we should do some localized studies in the areas where we want to desalinate to make sure that those regimes are also dealt with in a smart way. But one last thing is that desalination is one part of an ecosystem, and it's very important to understand that. So if you look at Albany Coast as an example of a very successful desalination plant, one of the places where it's become even more successful than it was before is by using sand water extraction in the lagoon in the Albany Coast to become a new way to source the water, because then you have the advantage of the water having its first filter inside that sandbank before it actually goes into the reverse osmosis plants to make this work in a very smart way. Chair, I think we've covered that round of questions. We're happy to take more. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CE. I see the three other heads again. Honorable Lucas Deki, Honorable Leon Baston, and Honorable Mokotu, Honorable Tafin.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. I think this one comes to the department. There was a comment about a technology that was used in South Africa, but it's like we scaled down until it is taken by Singapore. Does it mean that technology now, when we source it at a price from Singapore, or do we still have it, albeit it may be at a small scale now? I think there was the second presenter, sorry, I could not get the name of the person, but he mentioned something like that, that actually we lost what we could have used. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Hotu? Oh, sorry, Honorable Baston.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I put one comment and then one question. The comment is that I totally agree with Mr. Naidu that we are missing the opportunity in the country. But just to give you an idea that our wastewater treatment plant, and that is now out of the 2014 Green Drop report, we receive 5,000 million liters of sewer, of sewage, every day. And that is the opportunity to recycle that water into drinking water again. Because then we reuse the water. And I think that is where the problem lies, is that we are throwing away water that we should reuse. So that is just a comment I'm making. The second one I want to make is, I want to ask, there are new technology, and I was on and off due to coverage here where I am at home at the moment. I'm not sure whether you have discussed. What about T-wave energy? If we look at desalination and we can utilize T-wave energy, whether that could bring down the cost in areas where we don't have sunlight that much, not like the Northern Cape, whether that would be a possible way out for us to bring down the cost. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Honorable Leon. Honorable Makoto.
Can we be given examples of countries and companies that are interested in investing in South Africa? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mokoto. Honorable Tafin.
Chairperson.
Can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. Proceed.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings, members. Chairperson, the presentation is clear, but is not assisting us. Because I'm worried about the people of South Africa that are suffering about the issue of water. We say people must always practice to save water. But in the rural areas, the taps are dry. The water never come out. What is the plan of those projects that are implementing the taps, but the water never come out in one day? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Tafin. CE and the department.
Thank you very much, Chair. Should we wait for the department to go first and then we can follow?
Okay, Honorable Makobo and your team.
Good morning, Chair. The acting DG currently is Mr. Trevor Bowser. He's back from sick leave. And he has sent that his apology by way of a letter. He has requested me to leave the team. And Honorable Makobo earlier indicated that you were going to depart from this meeting earlier, so I think he's not on, otherwise he would have responded. The question that I heard of technology that was developed in South Africa and went to Singapore, that is mean you are buying it back expensively and what have you. I'm not aware of that, so perhaps Mr. Naidu can explain which one is it and whether it is involved in South Africa, but I'm not aware of such. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the issue of the tap not having water.
I think my understanding, Chairperson, of the question is that here we are talking about some high-tech project or technology, but it does not speak to the real day-to-day issue and of people that are out there that don't have water. I understand the question to be saying that. And my response is that the what has been presented to us is the cost, the practicality, and everything that goes with this. It does mean that it cannot be used in all areas or in every area. And even in the areas where it is used, the issue of the cost and how you are going to reticulate, which also speaks to the cost, Chairperson and honorable members, becomes says to us that it is something that we cannot use throughout the country. And where it is used as well, I think the presentation that Mr. Naidu did indicate that whenever it is, for example, the very first one that was used in an area where there's drought, as soon as drought gets alleviated or when we have rains and what, the municipality then stops it because of the operation cost. And again, what we also know, which came from some research, I don't know where the WFC mentioned this today, but what also came from research is that the restarting that plant after it has not been used for some time, the costs are almost as equal to the cost of the commissioning of the plant from Saturn. So it is not an easy thing. It cannot be applicable throughout the country. But I think that the issue of reverse osmosis, that can be looked at, especially when we are using groundwater. Because the quality of groundwater, anyway, just like the quality of surface water, cannot be guaranteed. In other words, when you monitor today, you take a sample today and it says to you that you can drink this water without any treatment. It doesn't mean that you can stay that way. Because as you pump, there are other things that come to play and that water may not remain in the drinking or meet the drinking standards forever. So I think we can look at reverse osmosis in the treatment of groundwater, especially in remote areas where we do not have reticulation and where we cannot have reticulation as a result of this past area. And Chairperson and honorable members, I am on record saying, even this week we had a meeting, which is this week, yes, we had a meeting with the GASC, and they were presenting to us the different funding models and so forth. And I said to them, it is well and good for you to be presenting this to us, but this is suitable for areas where people can pay and you can have some investors in it. What about the bulk of South Africans that you will read about from said South Africa, which say so many households are unserved. And the number of unserved is increasing due to the unreliability of services from municipalities because the infrastructure is aging and because of lack of maintenance and operation. That number is increasing. What are we going to do about that number in this kind of current financial modeling and where the fiscal is running out or is constrained, and we have issues where we have people drinking water with animals, drinking water from puddles and what is it. So when we listen to presentations that are made to us, the first thing that kicks in is how am I going to use this in areas where there is no water, where really the areas the honorable member was referring to. So the question is pertinent to me, and those are the things that we need to grapple with as we present this high tech and all other things that we're doing in the past. Thank you.
CEO, sorry.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, Deborah, for input. Let me run through the suite of questions very quickly. The technology biggie that Jay Bhagwan had referred to, and the list is actually quite big, is in fact reverse osmosis. The original reverse osmosis membrane. And this is the dominant technology used for water treatment and water desalination everywhere in the world currently, and is regarded as the gold standard. It was in fact developed in South Africa, but it wasn't commercialized in South Africa. Singapore engaged the people who invented it, and there were WRC projects involved that actually sponsored the development and the research associated with it. And they industrialized this elsewhere. And indeed, South Africa does buy reverse osmosis membrane. And we do pay a premium for it because we are importing it by and large. However, there is a move to re-engage locally around local manufacture now with another version of that, an updated version of the original reverse osmosis. And maybe we can recapture some of that market. It would be very useful. But we must be careful not to lose other technologies at the same time. The second question from Honorable Basson, firstly, to agree with your sentiment that reuse has to become a very, very primary part of what we do. This is in the Water Master Plan, incidentally, and it's quite explicit in the Water Master Plan. But maybe we need to start thinking about other regulatory environments that make this work. So, for example, the cities that abstract from the Rhine in the German part of the Rhine journey have to actually demonstrate that they are reusing the water that is abstracted from the Rhine at least 5 times before they return it back into the stream. If they cannot demonstrate that, they have the possibility of actually losing their life. This is very significant. And this is the seriousness with which we need to start engaging this matter. And you are right. Sewer water is a huge resource that is available to us, just like acid mine water. I mean, acid mine water is 3 basins that are 4 kilometers deep in the Gauteng area, and it's 4 kilometers deep full of water. It is unbelievable. So that is something that we fully endorse, and there's a lot of research work that has been done in this domain over many, many years, and the WRC is in its 50th year this year. And I think on desalination issues and on water resource or reuse issues, we have 50 years worth of work in these domains that we can count on. The issue about using sea energy, the wave energy, in order to be able to propel some of these devices, absolutely. In fact, we have a demonstrator plant in Simonstown Bay that has been working effectively way beyond the project. It's still in operation some years later, that is demonstrating just how easy this is to do. And this is in a bay environment where the fluctuations are much more shallow as opposed to the real sea environment where you have a much, much higher energy potential. So all of this is absolutely possible.
In fact, it is also part of the IRP of the Department of Energy. There are many companies and countries that are looking for investment. The reality is that since 2008, at least over the past 10 years, and definitely with last year, we have a lot of idle capital that is sitting in many places around the world. Some of these have been surfaced via Dr. Ramahopa's office at the investment office in the presidency, and some of these have been expressed in the presidential summits on investments, but there are other approaches that happen on almost a daily basis. But they do get stuck in a couple of areas. One is the area around what the revenue return is going to be, and the issue about ability to pay becomes a big issue, because those investors are prepared to put up front the capital investment, but somebody has to guarantee the payment. So individual consumers cannot pay, and we have a large number of people in this country who are poor, then this becomes another role for government to guarantee the payment on behalf of folks until things get a little bit better. But we are not short of people who are interested in the investment. They need the right technology options. They ask for a particular kind of policy environment, and they definitely ask for guarantees around the return on the investment. And this is not unique to us. This is something that they do all over the world. And we need to up our game, starting to tap into that, and also give people a diversity of options. I mean, right now we have folks who work very hard at getting foreign investments coming into the country around dams and pipelines and the like. We need to add to the street things like desalination, and some of that discussion has already begun. And then, Honorable Stefani, on the rural taps running dry, I mean, you also have some urban taps running dry. And we really need to up our game around getting our reticulation efficiency into place. Because some of the reasons associated with the taps running dry are difficult reasons. You know, in some cases, it's simply the capital cost of getting the reticulation to the point where it is needed. But in other cases, we have things like unaccounted for water. So unaccounted for water in this country, and the last time we measured it comprehensively, came out at just over 36%. That's 36% of the water that leaves the system is not accounted for back in financial returns. 25% of those we know are leaked, and this number is actually going up. So our ability to restore the integrity of the system is absolutely paramount. Because water isn't the only thing you lose when there are leaks inside. You also lose the pressure at that point, which means even if there is water inside the pipe, it doesn't get up the hill because there isn't enough pressure to drive it up that hill. And this is something that we have to consider very, very carefully and put a lot of effort into. It's not closely associated with desalination, but the integrity and the productivity of a desalination plant depends almost entirely on having a reticulation system for high integrity to actually get now this expensive water out to people. But, you know, there are hopes in other directions. So one of the things that South Africa uses, and some of the things where we have some world first, is around point-of-use systems, where people can draw water from a local river and put it through these point-of-use systems. So very complex things, like mini desal plants, but also very simple things, like the Bulemans bucket, where 50 liters at a time, you pour your water in, and on a gravity feed, it goes to a membrane system, and the water that you get out of this is actually clean and potable and drinkable water. And these we need to roll up en masse to many places, very urban environments, as well as in the rural environment, until the infrastructure catches up with where it eventually needs to be, as is described in all of the plans. Then, Chairperson, the last point I would like to make around this is that, and it's a point that's been made a few times inside the presentation, that desalination on its own is not a magic bullet. It needs to be added as part of the array of the machinery that we currently have and the ones we want to have in the future to give us the full suite of tools that's required to get to the assurance of supply levels that we need. We need to get water to all of our people. We have committed to this as a country. that by 2030, there won't be a single person in this country that won't have a reliable access to water. And all of these toolboxes need to work in order to get us to that point. The second point I want to make is that we do have to take advantage of technologies that are not just available elsewhere in the world, but that we're actually developing in this country. In fact, we should be exporting these technologies to other people to make sure that our brothers and sisters in sub-Saharan Africa can also reach that point by 2030. Thank you very much, Dean. I hope we have covered this.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, CE. I can see the other hands. Honorable Mfuthu, is it that you want to speak or you forgot?
Chair, I wanted to add before they speak. I was keeping my one ear on your work in my leadership.
Oh, okay. So thank you. Then why don't you allow the person to one hand, Honorable Mfuthu, that the hand has disappeared, and then you can speak after Honorable Seke, Honorable CM.
It's agreed, ma.
Okay. Honorable Seke.
Oh, thanks, Chair. The presenters must avoid using some acronyms. You know, earlier, Honorable Sekes asked what is AMT, as it was said by Nenom Shanja. And the acting DG also spoke about their meeting with the GSC. So the one would, you know, ask herself for what is the GSC. And yeah, in the AMT, I presume that it's acid mining drainage, but with regard to GSC, it's something else. So they must in future avoid using acronyms for the benefit of members. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Sasai, the late hand. Honorable Sasai.
Chairperson, I've got a network problem. Sorry. There is a desalination project in the Eastern Cape at Alexandria. One would like to hear about the performance of that, and could that be utilized as a research study for the Eastern Cape or for South Africa? That's why I was asking the question, how is the performance of the present desalination plant that we have? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Pierre Masobo.
I'm not sure, Chairperson, with your permission, whether the SNDG Deborah or Devigan, they will want to speak about their knowledge of what Umam Swai is saying in Alexandra before I can come in, Your Excellency. Thank you.
Okay, SNDG, SNDG, yes.
I would request that it be addressed by Mr. Naiji, because there's a slide in their presentation which talks to the current plans and how they are performing at the moment. So I think they are best fit. If you can, Des. Des.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Can I request members to close their mic after speaking? Honorable Sasai, your mic is on. And there is a lot of sound that is coming out of that mic. Proceed, CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, it was referred to in the presentation, but in the presentation, it's called Albany Coast, where the plant is located in Sandra municipality. It is. It has had this recent addition of the sand water extraction, and we're finding this to be very effective. And it's proving to be a very effective mechanism overall. In fact, it is the predominant supply mechanism in that municipality currently, and it works very well. It provides a very good model. You are quite right, Honorable Sikwai, that this is a really good model that can be replicated in many other towns along that coastline. There is the issue, though, of economies of scale. So you need to have a certain megaliter use for all of the mechanization to make sense. And this is possible to do. You can also, if you have some kind of additional reticulation capital investment, you can also have the possibility of having larger plants that supply multiple towns instead of just one. But then there's an energy factor around. But if you work out the geography right, maybe you can have some gravity feeds as well, as we have in many other places. But right now, this is representing for us a really good model that has the possibility of being engaged elsewhere. And some of the discussions have already began in other places along that coast around making this work, including Sedgefield now, around revitalizing an older investment. I hope that covers it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masobo.
No, thank you very much, Your Excellency Chair and Honorable Members. I just wanted to say some few things with the permission, Chair. That firstly, we need just to thank the leadership of the Kopano Committee for allowing our institution, which is our North Star, which is the Water Research Commission, to do this important work so that you as the honorable legislators and public representatives were able to help us. There are certain silent points, Chair, that we needed to probably reconfirm on what the team has said and some of the questions you asked yourself. One of the biggest issues that we should be able to selfishly and safeguard South Africa's intellectual property rights. South Africans, Chair, of all walks of life, sometimes we don't recognize that one of our biggest endowments and treasures as South Africans is our people. And when it comes to research and development, as the NPC says, we should actually increase our output when it comes to R&D so that we can be able to confront the challenges of our time. What Dr. Bagwa was saying, and does again, not only in the space of water, Chair, but in South Africa, there are many young people. I know even one guy who's another planet is named after him. Siyahluza, who is one of the best scientists that the Americans wanted to steal him, is that sometimes we don't appreciate what we have. There's a lot of research that is coming, and we are correct that we insist that the state we need to be able to. For an example, the issue around the reverse osmosis, in other words, where we have an ability to extract either heavy metals or certain substances, or objects that you don't need in your water system. There's been a lot of work that has been done by South Africans. But one of the biggest problems with us as South Africans is not to support an institution like Water Research Commission, the CSIR and others, to come to a stage where we give them support, including funding, so that we can commercialize our products. And sometimes, even if some of these products are produced by our own institutions, we don't commercialize them so that we can be able to promote industrialization. Then we end up becoming a net importer of technology. I'm very excited that we are discussing it because technologies that are coming from outside, we need also to be able to actually modify them for our own conditions because the conditions are not the same. Especially if you look at the question of the water body. The water body is not the same from if you go to Cythera as an example where we have the precious thing. And one of the issues that we like actually bringing this technology from outside, technologies that our people are not ready even to operate and maintain. Therefore, the point of emphasis, Chair, is the issue of IP, the point of commercialization, like Honorable Pastor, you have said, that technology should not have lost it, and people have made millions and millions, actually billions around the world with our own technology. But we can also do the industrialization. The other point that is also coming up, Chair, that we should be able to emphasize is that whatever technologies we use, there is always the issue that in as much as we welcome the advances, but there are certain issues like issues of cost which are drivers like Desigan has indicated. Normally, the issues of capital or when you do the CAPEX, you develop, you implement this. This desalination program is like the nuclear program. There is a lot of money that you must put in when you actually do it. And in other words, if you do the project yourself. But we must always not be able to use the issues of the cost as a scarecrow. Because what happens is that other industries that must be able to supply cement, that must be able to supply steel and others, all these other inputs, other industries get to be created around those particular cities. It's like even when you do the construction of the dam, you will be spending a lot of money as a project developer, but you'll be actually stimulating create even new towns and cities in doing that. But we always have to manage the question that there has to be the affordability, especially the question of the energy. If you look at the number of desalination plants that we have in some of the coastal areas, one of the biggest challenges they've always experienced was the question of operations and maintenance. We have one of the best. There's even another one in Richards Bay right now. And the quality of the water that they could produce is a very good quality in terms of our own standard, more than our standard. But the municipality and Mthatha the water are not using it now because of issues of the cost. How do you manage the brine, the salt? How do you dispose that salt? Then there's that problem in South Africa of load shedding on and off, and very important. The last point that I thought I should be able to say is that, Chair, these technologies, I know you are very keen about them. We must also be able to understand that what is the spatial mapping of water availability in our country. The spatial mapping of water is very important in terms of the water mix, because certain parts of South Africa are well developed in terms of infrastructure. If you come to Gauteng as an example, what you call it, Chairperson, integrated Vaal River system. The integrated Vaal River system is bring water from various provinces, including other countries. It's just to be brought to Gauteng. Probably going forward, when we plan, Gauteng does not need additional dams going forward. There is already a lot of water that is being generated. And Honorable Pastor, you are very correct. Therefore, the issues of reuse, the issues of recycling and treatment, actually people starting to use wastewater and not to be thrown away, because the majority of millions and millions of liters every day are thrown to Northwest, and Northwest can't cool. And Northwest, they are not using fresh water because it's already coming from the sewer system. Therefore, the issues of technology, Honorable Chair, about our ability to treat the wastewater to be fit for use. If you look at Johannesburg alone, one treatment plant is called the wastewater treatment plant in the north. That's here. At the back of this load or what, this place, if you drive with 14 share. That plant was designed for more than 450 megaliters, which is more than 450 million liters of water that must be treated. And that currently is operating at around 401 million liters a day. nearly about 100 million is being used for irrigation, but more than 300 million liters, they go down to Africa's ports. Therefore, what we need to do in these solutions going forward, Chair, is to answer the question, is that South Africa is not going to run out of water, but the challenge we'll have is that we'll have water, but the water will not be fit for use by various sectors. Therefore, the issues of treatment, reuse, and water conservation will be important. And Deborah is correct, Chair. In areas like in our rural communities, where infrastructure is going to take time to build a dam, maybe we'll have some challenges with the issues of money. The issues of the use of groundwater is going to be the only way to go. But groundwater there, because of developments and settlements and the mining activities that might have happened there, you might find that the groundwater is not fit for use, Chair. Therefore, the deployment of technologies, not actually even technologies that are mobile, Chair, so that you can deploy it within a shortest period of time with the capability to remove all those foreign materials that are not needed for water, would be very important, because that's why the mobile plants are going to be very important. In other areas like in Mpompo, in Mpumalanga, in KwaZulu-Natal, in the Vaal, you have a lot of groundwater. There's been a lot of pollution of groundwater. She's raised, which is correct, Honorable Respect, when she talks about the acid mine drainage. This is about how we should be able to do the mapping of water. Therefore, one of the biggest thoughts apart from seawater, the issues of rainwater or surface water, is groundwater, but also is the wastewater that we should be able to start to use more. I thought, Chairperson, just to amplify some of these pointers, we should be able to raise those particular issues by support the work as legislators and as the executive of our research institution, push them to do more working with other institutions across the world, commercialize, and our products, let them do the industrialization, because we know that South Africa will remain a construction site as the economic reconstruction and recovery plan directs us, that water is going to be at the center of reviving this economy, as more important equally as the issues of energy. While I'm saying energy, there is a discussion between the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy and ourselves that when we look at coastal cities and how still to try to manage the issues of energy problems, the possibility of using of gas to power some of those desalination plants at the coastal cities is one of the discussions that we're discussing right now, including with the Department of Environment. What do you do with the sludge, which is called the brine, not that salt, because you don't want that salt to cause more problems. But I think about Desigan and the team, they should be able to continue to interact with them, come back with the solutions, because it's our endowment, that's clean water that is there, and that possibility of using gas. And then there are still other countries who actually still want to find that they can convert into salt, unlike in our case, because remember, because of health reasons and environmental reasons, we've decided as a country to have a situation where we could give help. That will be my contribution, Your Excellency, Chair and members, but we are also learning through your own experiences, because we are not only answering questions, a number of you are speaking from these experiences, either through communities or interacting with business and researchers.
Thank you very much, dear Matobo. I see Honorable Mbana has raised their hand. Honorable members, I'm trying to close the discussion. Honorable Mbana, if there is anybody who wants to speak, let me see the hand so that we are closing after this.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry for that. No, I wanted to make a follow-up after that last presentation in terms, in fact, after that last question that was asked by Honorable Twice. The one of if that desalination project that is already working very fine in Alexandria. What makes the what is this Makanda local municipality can't get the assistance from them? Is there any possibility for them? Because we always, even in our TVs, radios, we have that crisis of water in Makanda, which is very good, is about 15 decades from. That's what I wanted to ask. As a result, I wanted to drop my hand or withdraw my hand so that I can ask that after the meeting and not lead the meeting. I'm sorry for that.
CE, can you quickly respond to that, or you can engage the honorable member later on the matter?
We'll suggest that what we do, we'll engage with honorable Fana, but we'll also have to bring this point, because some of these desalination plants is not only the one in Alexandria, there are a number of them that are there, and it has been a lot of investment that has happened, but specifically because of the problems of Makanda, I will suggest we allow the department system to actually meet the team to give a detailed report and how are we supporting around the question of Makanda, because she's correct, Honorable Ghana, is a topical issue. Those communities are struggling, Chair.
Okay. thank you very much, Honorable Members, DM, and the Department and the Water Research Council for the important briefing that we have as a committee, and it has empowered us and to understand how we should interact with the department through their plans as we move forward, and we will continuously extend our invitation if there is a need to yourself, because you are an important stakeholder in the in the water sector, and thank you very much for availing yourself and your team and DM and the team. I'm going to ask that we break for 5 minutes as we allow them to leave the system, and then we come back quickly, members.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also relieved, you know, because it's been committed in now for the last day, so.
Yeah, you can be released here.
Have a lovely weekend, Congress, Chair. And all members. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. Our deep appreciation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Des and the team. Bye-bye.
Chairperson. Oh.
Can you put Chairperson back? Comrade Mvana.
I'm still connected. Mvana, hello? Chairperson. Rosin.
I'm still connected.
Alena manje funa ukulo join social development ngoku. What is the that we are to discuss?
Ama minutes.
Awu mana ama minutes you can the agenda are outdated la ama minutes lo. So madala kakhulu and look at the those winners are very outdated and very
big. But where's your doctor?
Huh? Yeah, very, I'm in the meeting of and Jan Kumba. I've got 2 committees as Kala.
I've got 4.
We will report to the chair. We may recall you from that committee.
I'm here, honorable members.
Okay.
Yeah, connect you to the other device.
Yeah,
honorable members. I'm here.
break is allowed.
Miracle cast of second little break.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. 5 minutes already gone. thank you very much. I'm going to request that we give the content advice. What we did, honorable members, was to only, you remember that we have called the provinces, the boards, to come and present to us. We then actually consolidated the issues and then developed a report. So that because there were a lot of issues that are similar in provinces, and then we consolidated there's a report, and I'm going to allow, instead of having the minutes isolating issues that need follow up of committees, then we requested the content advisor to consolidate and bring the issues that need resolutions from those provincial plan. I'm going to allow content advisor Shirin to speak to those issues in the form of a report, and then members can then interact with those issues.
Good day, Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, and colleagues. The draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation, on provincial engagements on specific issues relating to the water and sanitation sector. I'm going to just read the background and introduction because it gives the basis on the issues in relation to concurrent functions, as well as how the DBM model can best be placed to address some of the challenges that are highlighted in this report. The background, the Constitution of South Africa 1996 assigns water and sanitation as a concurrent function of national and provincial government. The statutory framework governing the sector in terms of management and service delivery is detailed in specific pieces of legislation, as well as policy guidelines and norms and standards. However, the implementation thereof has created challenges not only to national departments, but also to provincial and local government institutions. To bring about structure and form to the constitutional principles of corporate governance, the enacting of the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, number 13 of 2005, provided a framework for the functional integration of intergovernmental relations in South Africa. This culminated in the Act making provisions for the establishment of various national, provincial, and local forums to facilitate intergovernmental coordination. One of the critical challenges in the context of water and sanitation as a concurrent function is the inability of different spheres of government to fully implement the intergovernmental relations framework. Weak coordination between different spheres of government, as well as ineffective implementation of national pieces of legislation and non-adherence to national policy guidelines and norms and standards for provincial and local governments, has culminated in the move by the state to further improve intergovernmental relations and corporate governance within the development of the district development model. The principles guiding the district development model, as described by the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, aims to improve the coherence and impact of government service delivery, with its focus in 44 districts and 8 metros around the country, as development spaces that can be used as centers of service delivery and economic development creation. Furthermore, under the district development model, local experience of government coordinate and integrate development plans and budgets and mobilize the capacity and resources of government and civil society, including business, labor, and community, in pursuit of inclusive growth and job creation. This is in line with the medium-term strategic framework 2019-2024 call for the alignment, coordination, and ultimately full integration of all development planning instruments into an integrated framework, bearing results without duplication, role conflict, and development contradictions. Better coordination of implementation through the district-based delivery model. The introduction provides the basis for the objectives of the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation with regard to why these provincial briefings were called. The Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation required an assessment of the effectiveness in which concurrent functions relating to the human settlements and water and sanitation are implemented, aligned and integrated in various provinces. The focus of these briefings related to the following areas of discussion, which provided an overview of provincial strategic plans aligned to national policies for the 2021 financial year. The Business Plan 2021 District Development Model, Water and Sanitation Plans, Water Services Authority Plans, Wastewater Treatment Plans, and briefing on the operations of water boards in provinces on the water delivery plans for the 2021 financial year were all documents used as the basis for interrogating the topic. In summary, the purpose of these briefings were to determine the extent to which these plans are aligned to the district aligned service delivery model as outlined in the medium-term strategic framework 2019-2024, and to enable the portfolio committee to plan and conduct oversight over these plans during the 2020-21 financial year and beyond. In section three, I just give a quick overview of what the concurrent functions in terms of the constitution. Within the water and sanitation sector, there are three fundamental objectives for managing South Africa's water, which are firmly grounded in the provision of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. To achieve equitable access to water and to the benefits from the use of water resources, sustainable use of water by making progressive adjustments for water use, with the objective of striking a balance between water availability and legitimate water requirements, and by implementing measures to protect water resources. And the last one is efficient and effective water use for optimum social and economic benefit. In South Africa, the water sector is classified into two main subsectors: water resources management and water provision. Water resources management focuses on the protection, optimal utilization, development, conservation, management, and control of the country's water resources in a sustainable and equitable manner for the benefit of all people. Water services management, on the other hand, focuses on the provision of adequate, sustainable, viable, safe, appropriate, and affordable water and sanitation services to all people in South Africa. In terms of the Constitution of South Africa, the management of water resources is an exclusive national competency in terms of the National Water Act 1998 and falls within the portfolio of the Minister of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation. Responsibility for service provision is shared among various entities. The country's 280 municipalities, 44 districts, 8 metros, and 228 local municipalities are in charge of water distribution and sanitation either directly or indirectly through municipally owned enterprises or private companies, government-owned water boards are in charge of operating bulk water supply infrastructure and some wastewater systems, and the Trans-Canada Tunnel Authority finances and develops dams and bulk water supply infrastructure. According to the Constitution, the municipal structures number 32 of 2000 and the Water Services Act number 108 of 1997, responsibility for the provision of water and sanitation lies with water services authorities, which the Water Services Act defines as a municipality. In many cases, the district municipalities are the water services authorities. However, the national government, according to the prescripts of the Water Services Act, can assign responsibility for service provision from district municipalities to local municipalities. That will be in instances where the district municipality can't fulfill that mandate or function. I'm going to quickly whisk through the provincial submissions. The provincial submissions mainly look at the projected budgets as well as projects that each of the provinces wants to construct or to develop in the 2021 financial year. So I'm not going to read every line of that, of those pages. I'll move to the observations and recommendations. Summarize the challenges that are experienced by each of those provinces and come up with, I think, substantive recommendations. So if that's okay with you, Chairperson? Chairperson?
The let's do that, Sheriff.
Okay, the focus of the provincial submissions for the water and sanitation sector incorporated the following: the scope and purpose of provincial water and sanitation business plans for the 2021 financial year, move towards the implementation of the district development model. If you go through from 4.1, you'll see that in the Northern Cape, they provide you with a synopsis of how much groundwater is available. The districts, district and local municipalities are designated as water service authorities, and the number of households to date that have no access to water and sanitation services. The last line of that component in Northern Cape says the province has earmarked such projects to alleviate some of the challenges experienced. Now, that can also be one of the follow-up activities of the oversight for the Portfolio Committee as well. Eastern Cape as well just provides the budget and the projects that they will be undertaking for the period. For ZuluNatal as well, the budget as well as the amounts, the number of projects that they will undertake for the financial year. Okay, the reason that I put placed the water board in line with the KwaZulu-Natal was just to highlight the kind of assistance that Implatuse Water Board is providing to KZN municipalities. As we all know, the zero-based tariff instituted for the 2021 financial year is one of the challenges highlighted by the water board. And the argument made by Mr. Tuesday was that this would place the board at a financial risk, as the organization would have to access its reserves for operational capital expenditure plans as revenue growth would decline. The legislative mandate to impose a zero-based tariff for the financial year would also necessitate a need for a financial risk plan to be implemented by national government to allow for the organization to remain as growth concerned in the future. And I think that was a topic for one of our briefings as well. Then in the Western Cape, it also provides strategies that they're coming up to ensure that one of the challenges in the city of Cape Town that they highlighted, that Monwabisi is one of the high-risk areas as there are no water networks in the area. The project in Prince Albert was completed on 30th July 2020, but is still in testing phase. In order to resolve the matter of the Stellenbosch wastewater treatment, the department has funded a plant at a cost of 405 million. The Overburden Water Board is responsible for servicing some of the areas in the Western Cape. The Mpumalanga, once again, they give a breakdown of the funding using the regional bulk infrastructure grant and the water services infrastructure grant. So the projects are aligned to the grant. In Limpopo as well, the WSIG and the RBIC water services infrastructure grant and regional bulk infrastructure grant amounted to 541 million and 733 million respectively. And then the Lephele Northern Water Board services the Limpopo area, and they highlighted the Lephele Northern Water highlighted over the 5-year period their attempts to ensure water service delivery and access, as well as looking at wastewater treatment work, so assisting municipalities with wastewater. In the northwest, we have the same thing, the budgets as well as the areas. In Gauteng, we have the areas as well as the budget that are big and basic. Rand Water is the water board servicing that area. Free State as well, they gave us the RBIC as well as the WSIC allocation and the areas that they projected for it to be utilized. The two water boards that are servicing Free State are Bloem and Sedibeng. And they highlighted the key projects for the 2021 financial period. And that's more detail. I think I'm going to go to five. The critical issues emanating from the submission. Members of the portfolio committee, after careful consideration of the inputs of issues pertinent to the news and the network, between national and provincial water implementation sectors, constituted the main arguments within the following thematic areas. Water and sanitation sector, 5.1.1, institutional reform and realignment project to ensure synergy between water resources management undertaken by national and water service delivery at a local level. Although the department has begun the institutional reform and realignment process of ensuring sound policy and legislative framework to govern and guide the water resources management component of its work, the implementation of service provision in many municipalities is compromised due to challenges associated with capacity constraints, that of human resources, technology and financial, aging infrastructure, limited understanding of assigned concurrent functions, water service delivery by municipalities. In this regard, the recommendation, the Department of Water and Sanitation through the Minister should undertake the following. Develop an institutional framework or guidelines that clearly defines roles, responsibilities, and accountability within the entire water and sanitation value chain. Support municipalities to build sufficient economies of scale to be efficient and financially resourced to employ skilled managers, professional staff, and to raise sufficient capital funds for investment in essential water infrastructure, specifically for operations and maintenance, and find solutions for areas with less developed economies. Promote good governance in the water sector institutions, and thereby ensuring separation of policymaking, shareholding, and regulatory functions. 5.1.2 is another observation. Evaluating and managing concurrent functions within the water sanitation sector across spheres of government. The submissions highlighted some of the challenges in executing concurrent functions within the water and sanitation sector between national and local spheres of government. The National Department of Water and Sanitation is the regulatory and legislative authority governing water resources management, but also has an obligation to assist local government institutions with effective water services provision. One of the critical issues emerging from the submission, as well as members' engagement, is the inability of municipalities to manage water service provision of quality water to citizens, as well as the inability to manage its responsibilities as contained in the Water Services Act, particularly in respect of wastewater discharge. Although the National Department utilizes a number of compliance and enforcement mechanisms, such as directives, notices, it has limited authority to intervene in the local sphere of government. The related recommendation for that issue, for that observation, is one of the more recent initiatives of the South African government. The district development model may be a useful tool to improve intergovernmental relations and cooperative governance methods in the country. It is therefore recommended that the department should fully utilize the avenues provided by the district development model to support and assist municipalities to discharge the water and sanitation service delivery responsibilities, as well as planning of provincial water and sanitation master plans aligned to the national water sanitation master plan. 5.1.3, I'll just take a sip of water.
Cheers.
5.1.3, wastewater treatment works and water works in provinces. The major sources of water pollution due to improperly managed wastewater infrastructure by municipalities pose a huge challenge across many municipalities in South Africa. Although municipalities have a responsibility to manage the wastewater system to minimize pollution of streams and rivers, a number of factors impede the ability to ensure continuous and effective monitoring of wastewater treatment and waterworks in the country. The issue of ring-fencing revenues derived for water services, as well as equitable share being considered an unconditional allocation, results in insufficient budgeting priorities for wastewater infrastructure, operations, and maintenance. The focus of compliance to discharge water into streams and rivers has mainly been dependent on national departments, issuing of directives and notices. But there is a need to begin seriously engaging on enforcement of bylaws at local government level. The recommendation, in addition to recommendation 5.1.2.1, the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Department of Water and Sanitation, together with the South African Local Government Association, need to monitor the development and enforcement of bylaws at local government structures in respect of the following: ensuring that industry effluent is of a sufficient standard, ensuring municipal water use authorizations are in place by municipalities for discharge of wastewater effluent and effective enforcement of municipal plans or guidelines on effluent nutrient levels prior to discharge. Specifically for the Department of Water and Sanitation, the department should ensure the implementation of the blue and green drop assessments on a regular basis, as well as compliance to statutory requirements which deal with discharging effluent. Infrastructure grant by the Department of Water and Sanitation and National Treasury results in the utilization of these grants on activities not aligned with the purpose of the grant. Recommendation for this: the Department of Water and Sanitation, COPTA and SALDA should engage with National Treasury on a collaborative review of infrastructure grants in respect of improving the grant structure for water and sanitation infrastructure, improving asset management, and defining clearer roles for national and local departments in the management of grant systems. The annual performance of the plan of the department highlights infrastructure projects through the grant systems, that of regional bulk infrastructure grant and water services infrastructure grant. The department should provide progress reports on the various stages of project processes, inclusive of challenges associated with budgets, through the use of the strengthening of and monitoring of the regional bulk infrastructure grants and water services infrastructure grants. Another issue of concern for the portfolio committee was the issue of the debt management at all levels of government within the water sector. Another critical issue within the entire water value chain is the serious challenge posed by debt owed to water boards by municipalities, debt owed by the Department of Water Boards and TCGA, as well as debt owed to municipalities by the department. This impedes and impacts on the players in the entire water value chain. The recommendation: the enforcement of the proposed interministerial task team recommendations and remedial action on debt recovery, such as continuous stakeholder engagement, topsizing of municipal grants, and listing and handling over non-compliant municipalities by issuing of directives for National Treasury as per the Public Finance Management Act, should be implemented with clear time frame. A progress report on all matters outlined above should be furnished to the Portfolio Committee on a quarterly basis. The next issue that the members of the Portfolio Committee highlighted: the strengthening of the work of the Water Services Authorities. Members of the Portfolio Committee maintain that it is important to strengthen the municipal component of the water value chain at the Water Services Authority level. The issues that Water Services Authorities face relate to inadequate resources for operations and maintenance of bulk infrastructure assets, governance and institutional capacity, as well as the need for improvement of financial capacity in municipalities. The related recommendation: members of the INTT should provide guidance on developing an implementation model whereby unspent or poorly spent government grants can be managed on behalf of the Water Services Authority, and where water boards or other service providers are used on behalf of the municipality, implement monitoring and evaluation of all external implementers. the verification and validation of existing lawful water use. The purpose of the verification and validation is to verify all existing lawful use, determine the status of water use and water registration, as well as to determine the legality of new water uses. However, members of the Portfolio Committee raised concerns on the discrepancies of the validation and verification system in relation to the building of illegal dams. Furthermore, the skewed distribution of water use must also be monitored as efficiency challenges within the water use authorization for acquiring water licenses by small impact users, mainly black farmers, is notably impacted. The recommendation for that, the department should fast-track the verification and validation of existing lawful use in all water management areas, so as to ensure a speedy water allocation reform to address water needs of the historically excluded and vulnerable group. The department should provide quarterly progress reports on water allocation reform across all water management areas. Some of the issues impacting water boards that members highlighted were a number of issues impeding the work of a number of water boards were highlighted in these submissions. These comprise the going concern of a number of water boards due to a zero-based tariff determinant imposed by the Department of Water and Sanitation for the 2021 financial year. Payments by the Department of Water and Sanitation to the Pelé Northern Water Board. Debt collection delays that detrimentally affect the work of water boards. Sidibeng and Makhali's cases in point. Governance challenges across water boards, amalgamation of water boards to establish regional utilities. The recommendation, the department and respective water boards should provide a report with associated timeframes on action plans that provide concrete and tangible results on issues associated with debt collection, governance issues, amalgamation of water boards to establish regional utilities. These reports must be available to the Portfolio Committee in the fourth quarter of the 2020-21 financial year. These are the issues that I was talking about and the challenges that are specific to provinces. In Limpopo, funds expended on the Giani Water Project, but communities not receiving water. Lack of water supply to increasing economic development in the Sina Special Economic Zone. Members were critical of the Department of Water and Sanitation for allowing the area of Sekakune to not have water for over a decade. Questions were raised on the repercussions meted out to farmers who are blocking streams that fed into dams. The issue of dams that are illegally constructed without receiving official approval. The department and respective and provincial state organs should provide a report with associated timeframes and action plans that provide concrete and tangible results on issues associated with funds expended on the Giani Water Project and details on how communities not benefiting from the Giani Water Project would be receiving water. Non-provision of water services to communities around Sekakune and measures as per statutory requirements taken by the department on farmers that are illegally building dams and damming streams and rivers which deny access to water to surrounding communities. The department should provide a report on these issues to the Portfolio Committee a month after the adoption of this report. In the Northwest, we have the following three challenges. The consequences of declining groundwater levels, water quality impacted on due to effluent discharge, refusal by Madibeng local municipality to accept the ministerial directive to assist with the improvement of water and wastewater systems. The recommendation, non-compliance to statutory requirements, as noted with the Madibeng municipality. comply with the directive to address pollution of effluent and tourism must be seriously addressed, and where necessary, criminal charges be brought against municipalities that transgress or violate the law within the water sector. The department should provide a report on these issues, articulating possible solutions where applicable to the portfolio committee a month after the adoption of the report. The Western Cape, the city of Cape Town noted that Mambabesi is one of the high-risk areas as there are not enough networks in the area. The recommendation, the department and city of Cape Town should provide a report detailing plans in the provision of water and water reticulation systems to Mambabesi area to the committee a month after the adoption of this report. In the Free State, the contradiction is evident in limited or no access to water by communities in the Free State, notwithstanding the availability of water from the Serpentine Dam and associated budgets dispersed to provide water services from boreholes and water tanks. Time frames for the eradication of the bucket system, reasons for the use of $43 million by Segovia Water Board for equipping of boreholes, time frames and interventions for the departments and municipalities on challenges such as vandalism of infrastructure and refurbishment of infrastructure. Reasons for the exorbitant and duplication of feasibility studies undertaken by Bloomwater, the poor status of wastewater treatment plants that continually pollute water sources. The recommendation, the department should, as a matter of urgency, provide a report and briefing on the remedial actions it would take on resolving the bucket eradication system, the way in which it ensure access to water from the Serpentine Dam to surrounding communities, as well as addressing the challenges of vandalism of infrastructure. The department should provide a report on these issues, articulating possible solutions applicable to the portfolio committee a month after the adoption of this report. In Impumalanga, there were three concerns related to the struggle for water in areas such as J.S. Moropa and other areas in the province. Water demand is especially high in areas such as Bombela due to the many farms around the area. In areas such as Bushbuck Ridge, there are issues of drought, which need to be urgently addressed by national and local governments. The recommendation, the Department of the Minister of Water and Sanitation should provide tangible and concrete solutions with time frames and allocated budgets to resolve issues of drought in Bushbuck Ridge, as well as ensuring availability of water to areas such as J.S. Moraka. The department should provide a report on these issues, articulating possible solutions where applicable to the portfolio committee a month after the adoption of this report. Report to be considered. I thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Members, as I've indicated, this is a consolidation of all the engagement that we have with the province on water and sanitation, and on human settlements, we still won't have the report of the other date, because of time we couldn't track the two reports. Can let me allow members. No hands have been raised in fact. And thank you very much. I'm saying no hands have been. Okay. I was saying that the members can interact with the report that's presented so that we are able to
close the provinces and then be able to make follow-ups on the issues that were raised. We need to bring these issues here. So I can, members are allowed, are invited to interact with the report as presented. Can I get other hands on the number? No other hands. Let me allow this hand that is on the screen. Honorable Zaike.
Oh, thanks, Chair. Let me appreciate the drafters of the report and precisely yourself, your office, and the support staff, Chair. I think the report is very comprehensive and touches most of the issues that we have discussed. But I just want to make just an addition, Chair, on the report. I think we have exceeded Makhali's water board. If I remember well, you have interacted with them under the leadership of maybe Binkimo Koto. So I think briefly we can capture it in our report, Chair. But in addition with those amendments, Chair, I move for the adoption of the report as a true reflection of what we have discussed there.
No, I know from our card. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether we move to the number
six. Hello.
What's on my card? I just read the last part of my confirmation and report.
Yes, good question. Has not been captured. The issue of Makhali has not been captured.
Okay.
Yes. And then
Did you hear, Chair? Second. For Shireen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, it's like there's
a. I'm headset. I'm
headset. Are you back, Member Vanna?
Yes, I'm in it. Members, I heard that Honorable Grace Seki has moved to the adoption and Honorable Seki has seconded for the report to be adopted. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Shireen.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson is disconnected, but I think she will connect just now.
Whoever that is calling the chairperson can talk.
I want to talk during the presence of the chairperson. Is she gone?
You're welcome. No, she is coming back, but we thought we could hear what you're saying.
The EFF abstain.
Why don't we just say as usual?
Yes, we welcome that. It's such a new thing.
I agree with Asha.
If you agree with us.
It raises your challenges, the challenges that we have came across in the provinces. I think she's saying it.
She come on, Grace.
Yes,
it's her person back.
Now, I just want to make a quick comment that I'm going to stop sharing this report and take it off. I'm unsure whether the minutes are going to be flighted on the screen after this.
Yeah, no, okay, Shirina, you can take it off the screen. Memon Khoti, even your voice tells that it's not you speaking to say you are staying. You just say in a very dull voice saying I abstain. That's not normally how you speak. So someone behind you is actually pushing you to even abstain on right things.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I could hear that it's not you speaking.
There's
something behind you.
You don't know me.
We don't know.
I think you know me.
Honorable Seki, withdraw that. Withdraw that statement.
No.
That's not parliamentary and not committee. Somebody
not, that's not committee language. Member Mvana, what is the next item on the agenda? Why are the chapters still collected?
It's the closure, Chairperson. Minutes.
Hey, colleagues, I cannot reflect the agenda.
Yes, it's the
those ones too, as the ones that I said, they are outdated. We must only read the dates and adopt them.
Amen.
What is the way forward if the chairperson needs to come back to the meeting?
We can elect the chair. Acting chair.
Yeah, maybe we should.
It's obvious. Come back, Grace. Please chair for us.
Hey. Any conduct?
Second, yes.
Must be done procedural.
It's procedural. We are nominating who? Zeki is nominating your name, and I'm seconding it. Let's proceed.
Where
are lunch now. Some of us are washing dishes now.
Okay, can we deal with the minutes? Can we reflect the minutes on the screen? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Sharon or Kulisa, who's going to reflect? Okay. The minutes of the 13th of October 2020. I take it that you have read this minutes, honorable members. Page 1 of the minutes.
Page 2. Go to page 2, Sharing. Or go down. Let me see members who have attended this meeting. Go down.
Sorry, I'm not... I haven't flighted this one.
Oh, is that? Who's flighting this report? I think just put on.
Oh, sorry? It's your report.
Go up a bit. Go down. Go down a bit. I want to go see
down. No, you're moving up. Down. We want to see the first part.
Yeah, I'm in charge now. Né? You must talk through me. Yeah, I can see. Yes, of course. I can see members who have been hard. Go down. Go up. Can see members who have attended. Yes. Yes, thank you very much. Apology, Powell. Yes, go up. Go up to page 2. Page 3. Any addition members? Any comments on page 2? 9, page 3.
Is it here in this meeting?
Pardon? Yes, Honorable Leon is in the meeting. Let me see. No, DA is not in the meeting. No, DA is not in the meeting. I saw Honorable Powell by the time she left. But for Honorable Leon, no. The next page. So just a list of officials. Next page. Open the marks. Next page, page 4. Any comments, members, in page 4? 9, page 5. DTM, page 6. Comments, members, in page 5? 9, page 6. Where are you? What is this page? Page 6, 7, 8. Page 9. It's fine. Page 9. Members, any comments? Page 10. Oh, 7, 8. I also go a little quickly. Construction. Which page is this? Why is Vuyoka? Vuyoka are going up and down. Which page is this? Bandoni, thanks very much. Page 9. Oh, we are still in page 9. Oh, okay. Members, any comments? 9. Page 10. Evan, Jefferson left again. Page 10. Page 10, go up. Any comments in this page, member? 9. 11. 11. Any comments, members? 9. 12. Let's move. Move. Any comments here, page 12, members? Page 13, these are the resolutions of the meeting. I hope you have gone through them. There are 3 resolutions taken, as you see. Any comments, members? None. Can I get a move?
No. I think because the resolution has been put in the report, can we then remove, delete them?
We agree, Chair?
Yes, thank you very much. until you close the meeting and I move for the adoption with that proposal, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any second?
One second, Chair.
One second. Any dissenting view? EFF, are you still with us? Your support. Thanks very much, the minutes and Julie supported. Next set of minutes. Uyokazi.
Yes, thanks very much.
Okay, Chair, continue.
The new chairperson, can you confirm if we are still from your quorum?
I'm here. Honorable Zeke, can you proceed? Because I've changed the gadget, but I'm not sure whether it will last. Continue, because I thought they'll just put them. Because what happened is that taken what is in the mandate put to the consolidated report. I thought you would just go, would just adopt them to the report.
Which minutes are you taking to check?
The meeting, the minutes of this minute is the minutes of the provinces, that the engagement with the provinces. And we have adopted the report. I'm saying the minutes should just be, because we have consolidated the minutes as part as the report, what you can remove on these minutes was the observation and resolution of members, and therefore then attached to the report then become the entire minutes without going one by one, because we already have dealt with the consolidated report. It's only minutes of the engagement with the provinces.
Okay, Chair. Yes, members, do you agree with the approach? Silence means consent. Can we get a mover for this minute? And a seconder? Thank you.
Okay. I second, Chairperson.
Who's moving?
Oh. I move.
Honorable Chairperson was moving. Seconder?
Thank you from Honorable Mokhotu.
Oh, is there a voice from Honorable Mokhotu? I thought it's Honorable Constance. Yes, it was Constance. So, possibly. Or are you seconding Semenya, Honorable Semenya, Chair?
No, yes, Honorable Member, but I'm saying there is a hand from Honorable Mokoto.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Honorable Mokoto. Or the report. Okay, thanks. Any dissenting view? Madam Mokoto, I see your hand. Honorable Mokoto, Shelby. Honorable Mokoto. Oh, left. Honorable Moshala. Connected. Can we therefore agree that this minute will be adopted? Next set of minutes. Do you have another set of minutes? Or are we done for the day?
FM 2.
Oh, we are done. Thanks very much. Chair, are you still here?
Because we have two minutes.
So we are done.
Right? Two sets of minutes are coming, June and August.
Honorable Adam. Now.
No. Honorable Honorable Chair,
position as a member of this committee? Are you opposing? Can we
record your... I don't agree in the manner in which you want me. Because you always agree what you like to hear. You don't want to put what others have said. You want to put what you want to hear. So I don't agree with you. And I will never agree with you until we put it correctly in such a way that the minute must look like. I'm not saying that we must put the verbatim of it. But let's try to make paramilitary. That one is not meaning. Because you always put what the aims you want to get. Thank you.
Are you suggesting that, Honorable Mashala, what you raised should be removed? Because where there is observation, or you want your name to attach to what you have said, because all the observations are in the minutes, which members have raised. And if you are saying, because you cannot put the names, because of individuals, the minutes. So,
Honorable Semenya, I've been saying that all the time. We are not saying that put my name and say Honorable Mashala said 1, 2, 3, but put what Honorable Mashala has said. Just try to summarize what Honorable Mashala, other honorable members have said in the meeting. So your minutes always favor majority party. It favors you. It doesn't favor us. And the minute is about what transpired on in the meeting of that particular day. So I don't agree with you the way we write minutes, and our stance is very clear in terms of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can we close this meeting? Because the minutes were duly adopted, moved by Honorable Sopo Singwe, and seconded by your good friends. So does it mean that the EFF is abstaining? Honorable,
yes.
Just to put it on record, I think that's the view. Thanks very much. Can you record it the way it is sharing? And I think we are done. Chair, can you take over? Because we are closing shortly. This was the last item.
No. Thank you very much, Honorable for the assistance. This thing of network remain a problem. Thank you very much, members.
for attending this meeting, and the meeting is closed.
Chairperson. I chair.
The meeting is closed.
Okay.
I will come in mean the next meeting. Yeah, 12 o'clock. The meeting is
closed. Thank you, Mukala.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.